I'd like to call to order the March meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education and thank each of you for being here. For our beginning program this evening, we'll like to introduce Ms. Pearl Goins, who is the principal of Glenwood Elementary, will tell us about our fabulous entertainers. Ms. Goins.
Thank you, Mr. Phil Howers. And I'd like to say good afternoon to the board and the superintendent and executive director and all those named folks. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our children. They've worked very hard under direction of Ms. Dill, and we hope you enjoy our program. I can tell you we're rested and charged up, so just be prepared. Just want to give you just a warning. So at this time, I won't belabor any longer. Ms. Dill and our Glenwood first graders, and accompanying her will be Miss Boroff. Krista Boroff was a first grade teacher as well. So let's go, ladies. We're ready. Thank you.
I
Hold on one second before you go. I say this quite often, and I will say it again once tonight. This is the best part of the meeting tonight right here. If you'd like to stay for the rest of it, and you'll know that I'm telling you the truth. This is certainly the best part. This is what education is all about, and this is where they begin, and we'll watch their lives grow and extend, and anxious to see what they'll become in the later years. Also, it's important to point out the quality of teachers that we have in the Oak Ridge schools and the excellent job that is done here by this young lady. If you think I'm making that up, try taking this number of first graders and see if you could do the same thing with them. So thank you again, parents and grandparents and others. Thank you for being here. Thank you all for this wonderful opening tonight. Right, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Any discussion, additions or changes, recommendations? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving tonight's agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda is special reports and presentations. First is our good news segment about some of the good things that are going on in the Oak Ridge schools. Mr. Eby.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my good news tonight comes from Woodland. Two things. First, two students from Woodland had their art pieces accepted in the Dogwood Arts Festival student art exhibition. Maddie Hart submitted a painting of a jellyfish, and Aaliyah Oak's entry was a clay gargoyle. They had more than 400 entries submitted, but only 100 are chosen, and two of those came from Woodland. Also from Woodland, the Woodland Chess Club had two teams participate in the regional chess tournament at Lenore City High School. The second and third grade team placed second in the primary division, and the fourth grade team placed third in the elementary division. And both teams brought home a trophy for the Woodland Trophy Case, and they're going to compete in the state tournament in Cookeville on, well, they did just this past Saturday. I don't know how they did, but they competed. That's it.
Ms. Eagle.
From Linden. Linden is celebrating its sixth season of Girls on the Run. They've had more than 10 girls registered each season, with some placing in the top three runners at the final 5K at the end of the season's race. Linden also just held its annual Family Art Night. The event was captured on video, and the video can be seen on the Oak Ridge School's website. That's ortn.edu. And our art teacher, Tristy Berryhill, does an amazing job with this community-wide event, so be sure and go check out the video.
My good news comes from Oak Ridge High School, and this is so good, I'm going to read all of it. The headline says, Oak Ridge High School Orchestra excels in national competition. The Oak Ridge High School Orchestra recently placed 28 musicians in the All East Tennessee Orchestra and 13 musicians in the All-State Orchestra. Earlier this month, the Wildcat Orchestra earned straight ones in the East Tennessee Band Orchestra Concert Festival for the first time. For 5 days, the orchestra has been competing, or did compete, in Washington, D.C. and New York City in a national competition against schools from Arizona, California, Missouri, Texas, and Georgia. The Oak Ridge Orchestra posted scores of 99, 98, and 98 for a composite score of 98.33 and defeated every other program in the competition. Oak Ridge High School received 11 awards, including Top Orchestra Program, Top Band Orchestra and Instrumental Ensemble, Adjudicator's Award for Best Orchestra, Adjudicator's Award for Best Chamber Group, Gold Rating Chamber, Gold Rating 10 through 12 Orchestra, Silver Rating 9th Grade Orchestra, Best Combined Score of Multiple Groups, Outstanding Orchestra Soloist Evelyn Piper, Outstanding Orchestra Soloist Alex, and I'm going to butcher his name, Wirsack, thank you, and Orchestra Outstanding Soloist Eagle One. That is just outstanding. Yes, that is outstanding. Ms. McLean.
My good news comes from Willowbrook Elementary. Willowbrook students Jesus Belvedere, Liam LaRose, River Tilly, and Leo Mark Olson took fourth place at a local chess tournament on March 5th and have qualified to compete in the state competition. Also from Willowbrook, teachers Ashley Branson and Andrew McDonald received a grant for $2,000 from the Education Foundation to purchase math and movement mats. And that's good news from Willowbrook.
Ms. Marshall.
Yes, my good news comes from Oak Ridge High School. We'd like to congratulate the Oak Ridge High School Scholars Bowl team who defeated the LNN STEM Academy from Knoxville in the most recent tournament. This is the 32nd annual Scholars Bowl tournament. This is the sixth win for Oak Ridge High School, so we're really proud of them. To get to the finals, they beat teams from Maryville, Farragut, Bearden, Science Hill. So they were very well represented. We're very proud, so congratulations to them.
And that's just some of the good news that are taking place in the Oak Ridge schools. Next on the agenda under special reports and presentations is an item we call just the facts about the Oak Ridge schools. This is information that we try to provide for those who are watching or that might be thinking about moving to Oak Ridge and enrolling their students in our school system. This year we've been focusing on each of our school buildings and schools in our district. And tonight, Ms. Eagle will be telling us just the facts about the Secret City Academy, which, and by the way, on Wednesday, Board of Education will be visiting Secret City Academy. Ms. Eagle.
Our Secret City Academy, many school systems have an alternative school. We have the Secret City Academy, which fulfills that purpose and then some. The principal is John Roberts. We have five high school teachers and three middle school teachers. Currently, there are 27 high school students. Eight of those are there by choice. It is not just a disciplinary measure. There are students who choose Secret City Academy because they experience success there. We currently have 12 middle school students. Three of those are there by choice. We have had, through the year, 47 high school students and 21 middle school. Kids do rotate in and out as necessary. We have six seniors who were at risk of not graduating on time. Three of those are very likely to be able to catch up and graduate on time. That's one of the key things that Secret City Academy focuses on, is credit recovery and being able to catch up so students don't lose hope. The class of 1970 has offered a scholarship for, I think, about the last 10 years to one or two students from Secret City Academy and now also possibly from the ROAR program. And it's either a fixed amount for post-secondary education or for something that they may need for post-secondary education, like a laptop. Really want to thank the class of 1970 for that, because that's incredible.
sometimes these kids can get overlooked, and thank you, Bob, because that they need incentives too, and that's a very welcome thing. The Secret City Academy continues to evolve to meet the needs of students. Online education is a growing piece of that because that enables kids to have access to courses that might not be readily available with such a small number of staff. And it's my understanding that in a few weeks, the middle school students at Secret City Academy will be granted their devices just like the students in other middle schools. And those are the facts about the Secret City Academy.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is information about the Wellness Fair. And Jen Lauren Dean, who is our health and wellness coordinator, could not be here tonight. I know she is working hard to make this successful, as this is a coordinated event between the Oak Ridge Schools and the City of Oak Ridge. She has asked me to share this information as a reminder. The City of Oak Ridge Wellness Fair will be held this Wednesday, March 30th, from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Civic Center. Teachers, students, parents, retirees, families, and community members are all encouraged to attend. And am I correct in understanding that if a staff member from Oak Ridge attends, they can receive in-service credit for doing so? So it's a great opportunity to do that. There will be over 60 vendors covering all aspects of physical, mental, emotional, and social health. The event is free. Please come and take advantage of this wonderful event. If you haven't been, you ought to go. This is a great event, and they give away a lot of freebies, too. So take advantage and get your blood pressure checked and all kinds of things done there. It's really very valuable, and we appreciate the effort that Jen and her group has put forth in making this happen and those from the city's perspective that are working hard on this as well. Next item, we know when we see this on the agenda that it's really now becomes officially budget time for the board. Of course, one of our favorite times of the year as well. So we've got two salary proposals that we'll hear tonight. And first, we'll start off with the principal's salary proposal. And we have our two middle school principals.
Thank you, Mr. Keys. I appreciate the opportunity to come speak with the board this evening. Mr. Adams is going to be working with me, has worked with me to get this proposal for this evening. And again, I appreciate the feedback from the staff, administrative staff. First, we'd like to acknowledge the current administrative team is proud to work for Oak Ridge Schools. We feel very fortunate to hold a leadership position in such a quality school system. Secondly, we'd like to thank Dr. Borchers, Mr. Lay, and Dr. Beckendorf, and the school board for allowing our teachers and administrators to play an active role in this budget process. We feel that we are valued, our opinions matter, and Dr. Borchers really listens to our request each and every time that we come to him with issues, particularly as it relates to the budget. And we appreciate him giving us consideration. Our request for this school year is we are requesting a 3% salary increase for the 2016-17 school year. We review this request as reasonable in general and realize the importance of increasing salaries to show appreciation of current staff while creating a salary package that will attract future staff. We once again reiterate that the raise level should be equal to the raise received by the Oak Ridge School support and teaching staff. We acknowledge that our success is dependent upon the performance of our support staff and certified staff, and we realize the excellence of our staff provides our students on a daily basis. That being said, the response that I received when, as I sent out emails to our administrative team, the response, number one thing was, just make sure we take care of our teachers and our support staff. I want to emphasize that again. The primary focus for the Oak Ridge administrators was to ensure that we are taking care of our teachers and our support staff. And again, I cannot say enough positive things about our support staff in Oak Ridge schools. I look at what they do on a daily basis, whether it be elementary or secondary. Many times and quite often, they're teaching classes and assisting our teachers and play a big part of the education our kids receive each and every day in Oak Ridge schools. The one thing I'm always asked when I get in a group of parents is what really makes Oak Ridge School special. This is my 10th year in Oak Ridge Schools, and I had a great honor of working with Mr. Lay for about 7.5, 8 years, and I learned a lot of things. And the one thing he taught me very well is the bottom line is that we have an incredible staff in Oak Ridge Schools. And as an administrative team, we have an awesome administrative team. But I cannot say enough good words about our teaching staff, our support staff. And I think also I want to say a real positive word about our administrative team. Give you a good example about the collaboration and the climate that I really feel is, and I go and give Dr. Borchers and Mr. Lay and Dr. Beckendorf credit. Mr. McDonald came from Oak Ridge High School, and this is my 10th year in Oak Ridge Schools. He came and spoke with our 8th grade teachers at Jefferson Middle School about the recommendations and elective and things they would be taking, and I think that was a first. And there's where we're going, Oak Ridge Schools, the collaboration. That was very important. When you see a high school principal taking the time to work with the middle schools, that's very appreciated. But again, the number one thing for us is making sure our staff's taken care of, our teachers are taken care of, and our support staff. Obviously, we're going to ask for basically the same thing or something similar as far as the teachers, but it's very important for us to acknowledge, and that was the one thing we received from all principals, is that we want to acknowledge the job that our teachers and support staff do each day. The one thing I try to do a little bit differently in research and speak with all principals is the roles and responsibilities of principals. I know last year, I think Mr. Lay and I, in the past couple years, we looked at what, you know, you can read articles, you can do different research, but what really does a principal do in Oak Ridge Schools? So what I try to do is break it down in 5 different categories. That way, it kind of gives you an idea on a daily basis. The first one I came to, and again, it's not just about 8-hour days. If anyone, any administrator is working an 8-hour day, I'd like to know who it is, but it's much longer than that. Maybe at Robertsville, but it's not at Jefferson. So, But anyway, I do appreciate the collaboration that we have with all administrators in Oak Ridge Schools. But as we talk about the curriculum, this is the one area that's changing dramatically over the past several years. You're basically the educational leader of your campus, whether it be your professional development, what you're doing in your staff meeting, your school leadership team meetings. That's a very important component. It really can determine the type of education, the instructional strategies, and things that our students are receiving each and every day. Shaping the vision of success for all students. And again, this goes back to Dr. Borchers. I really appreciate Dr. Borchers and his vision and what we're doing and where we want to go, and leading the administrative team here in Oak Ridge Schools, whether it be technology, Canvas, Skyward, all those things. We're very appreciative of that. Developing and cultivating leaders, and this is a key area in Oak Ridge Schools, and I think this is a great thing. When I look at what we're doing, I think Mr. Lay, Dr. Beckendorf, we're looking within the system to develop leaders, and I think the same thing can be stated at each school, that we're looking to develop leaders within our own system, our own schools, and hopefully promote them at some point. We're probably doing a better job of that in my 10 years, the past couple of years, because I look at our PLC groups, our instructional coaches. We're really putting people and putting staff in leadership positions. RTI, I know the staff, there's been presentations you got about RTI, and I'll be brief on that. That is an issue that takes a lot of administrative time these days, from attending meetings, trainings, and to ensuring that it is going on in each and every building. That is a daily task. Coordination, shared leadership with building level. We have data coaches, STEM coaches, and PLC coaches, and also implementing programs that will increase student achievement. And that's what I really appreciate about Dr. Borchers and Dr. Beckendorf and Mr. Lay. We're always looking for strategies and interventions that's going to help our school and help our students, and I appreciate their leadership. One of the big things I feel is our safety. When I look at school safety with the climate that we're living in these days, but creating a safe and positive, an effective learning environment for all stakeholders to succeed in a safe and positive environment. What we look at, we're from installing cameras to having Mr. Thacker come walk through our school to see what hazards, what are the areas that we need to work on. One example is our cameras, talking about a true collaboration. We had, I won't get Mr. McDonald upset on this, but we had several cameras not working in our buildings, and went to Mr. Lay, and within a matter of a week, we had all cameras pretty much working, and that's a very important issue when I look at school safety. You're talking about bullying and different issues. When you have cameras in hallways and different things, that's very important to monitor the behavior of kids. So, but I appreciate Mr. Thacker, Mr. Kofer, and all their work in helping us make our schools much safer. Collaborate with local school resource officer, Mr. Swagger. I think he's here this evening. Thank him enough from doing our drills, having drug dogs brought in on a consistent basis. Even though the last one we brought, I'll tell the story that as we was going through the hallways, the tile floor, he didn't like the clear floor, and he wouldn't go up on the the floor. So we had to take them to a different area of the building. But we appreciate our resource officer all the time that you put in helping our schools and making it safe. But again, the big thing I want to emphasize before I turn it over to Mr. Adams, he's going to hit a couple other points, is about our staff and what we can continue to do to support our teachers and our support staff. The one thing I won't mention administrators' names, but the number one thing is that we've got to continue to take care of our support staff and our teachers. We have an awesome group of staff that works very hard in Oak Ridge Schools each and every day. And also, I really appreciate the vision from Dr. Borchers to Mr. Lay and Dr. Beckendorf for allowing us to be a part. It's very special to come to Oak Ridge Schools. You know, there is no such thing as an 8-hour day. It's 9 and 10 hours. And it is fun. I enjoy coming to work. I enjoy working with Mr. Adams. And again, I'm not going to start on Mr. Haygood, who's his last year. I'll leave that to Steve. But we really have a great administrative team in Oak Ridge Schools. And so my thoughts to you is any consideration, any thoughts that you could give the Oak Ridge administrators, we would appreciate it. But again, our number one response is to make sure we take care of our teachers, our support staff. And that's kind of where we're at. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Adams. He's going to finish it and talk a little bit about a couple of other areas and also kind of where we rank as far as salary within the system.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Just a few things. Good evening. I just want to go over a few things with you all. But first of all, I just want to echo some of the things that Mr. Cox has said. We greatly appreciate the support of the school board. And Dr. Borchers, Mr. Lay, and Dr. Beckendorf have been phenomenal. I can't tell you how close we work with those individuals. Mr. Lay said he would only be a thrown stow away, and he wasn't kidding. And sometimes he shows up too much. I'm kidding, Bruce. I love you. But no, he's been fantastic. And the reason why I bring that up, why I think it's so important, is because I think it's important that everyone understands how well we work together. Mr. Lay being a part of it and moving on to where he is kind of brought that piece together. And I've known Phil for years, being a teacher in Oak Ridge Schools for several years and leaving and coming back. And then we've got Mr. Martin, of course, who's come into the fold and has done Mr. McDonald, who has done an excellent job of just keeping in touch, keeping that open lines of communication. So being a small school system is a great thing, but being a small dynamic school system is even better. And I think we are a dynamic school system. So just to touch base on some of the things that he had mentioned, I won't go into all of the details of what an administrator does on a daily basis because we would be here all night. But what I will say, some of the things that we do, we're trying to build leadership within our schools. And so with the PLC coaches, the data coaches, the RTI coaches, these individuals that are teachers, that is our main attraction I think we need to focus on. And then there's a piece called technology that we are really trying to focus on as well. And so the way that instruction takes place in a classroom has changed drastically. Now it's to the benefit of our students, of course, and to our teachers. Mr. Eby jokes with me about we have this something called Riddle Me This at Robertsville, and even though Scott Hinton, Mr. Eby cheated and won, that's just a small piece of what we do. And the reason why we do that, it's even though it's fun and the students don't understand what we're really doing, we're bringing technology into that. They have to answer through Canvas. They have to come up with creative ways to answer. And so that's just a small piece of using technology in a fun way. And of course, we have our STEM programs with Jefferson and Robertsville and Oak Ridge High School and the elementary schools as well. That's going to the next level. So with that being said, you have to think of the hours that teachers are putting in for technology. I can assure you, just being on the one-to-one committee, myself and Mr. Cox and Mr. McDonald, that takes a lot of time and effort. It's a positive thing. But the hours that go outside of that when we meet with our teachers, that's a different ball game. And so I just want everyone to understand that the hours have increased tremendously across the board for administration and for our faculty and staff. So I won't go into exactly what we do on a day-to-day basis, but I will say this. There has been a downward trend as far as the salary in Oak Ridge Schools. From in 2008, 2009, we were number 8. In 2012, 2013, we moved to number 10. And in 2014 and 2015, we moved to number 13. Now, this shows the picture for administration, but it mirrors the same picture as well for teachers. So just to give you an idea of where we are moving forward, it just seems like we're on a downward trend. And I say that not to be negative. I will say this. You won't find a single administrator in this school system who does not love their job. Even though we put in tons of hours, even though Mr. Lay will call me on the weekends and tell me to go home, we love our jobs. And because we get the support from our school board and we get the support from Dr. Beckendorf, Dr. Borchers, and Mr. Lay, because we get that strong support, that's what makes us love our jobs. Because I think if we were left on an island, this would be a different conversation. So just like Mr. Cox said, him and I work closely together. I love our working relationship. We work well together. Our schools, we will get our schools to where we need to be, which is a level 5 school, and that is our goal, and we will fight hard to do so. But we do need to attract those teachers. We do need to have that support in place. And the biggest thing that I want to leave with you today or tonight is that we need to build leadership within our schools. And I don't want to overwork our teachers. I want them to have something to work toward, because at the end of the day, you know, working hard for students is great, but that candle burns out quickly if there's not some sort of incentive at the end of the day. And, of course, attracting younger teachers and administrators as well. So that's all I want to leave with you tonight. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me anything you need or Mr. Cox.
Comments or questions from the board? Mr. Eby.
I'm not going to make a comment on that other. I do have a question, and maybe Mr. Reddickson get to this or not, because I suspect that it applies to both. What would be really helpful, I think, seeing this decline, obviously, is very disturbing, but it doesn't take into account the benefits, and I would like to see how our benefit package has changed in relationship to the other school systems over time. And I think what we're going to find out is that it may be even dropping even further in relationship to how we're doing with other school systems, because and maybe I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid that I may be correct. And I don't know if that's something that we look at on a regular basis, you know, insurance cost and those kind of things. I mean, do we ever rebid those things, or do we stick with what we have, or do we look? I mean, I think those are some things I would like to understand, too.
Mr. Eby, that's a great point. And if I know Steve Reddick, I think they're going to cover that as well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, Mike said he's got it covered.
So. Okay. We'll just wait.
Well, as far as health insurance goes, we're with the state plan, so we kind of have to go with the flow on that unless we decide to leave the state. With the other insurances like vision, dental, and life, we do bid those out. And it is a total package that you're talking about, and it should be looked at as a total package in comparison as you're wanting. So that would be really good information. Because I know a number of years ago we compared the benefits, and we were pretty far down, like all the districts in Tennessee, we were like halfway.
Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, just a point of clarification. The averages that are quoted in the handout, those are building principals only, not administrators across the board. Is that correct?
Building.
Building only. Okay.
That's correct.
Anyone else? Thank you, and I know that as we move through this process, there'll be more questions that'll come forward, and many difficult decisions to be made. I know on behalf of the board, I greatly appreciate both of your comments. Some key words that you use that are important to this board, and we see that happening too, and that's the collaboration across the system. That has to make a difference. When we're all pulling the train in the same direction, things are bound to get better. We appreciate those many hours, and I know just saying that's not enough, but please know that we do appreciate it, and we see the results. So we'll work hard to go through this process and work hard to come out with a product when we finally adopt that budget that will hopefully keep the Oak Ridge schools moving forward and not staying in one place, or by all means not dropping backwards. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, we'll hear from Mr. Reddick and Mr. Haygood with the Oak Ridge Education Association salary proposal.
Thank you. Good evening, school board members, Dr. Borchers, Dr. Beckendorf, Mr. Lay, Ms. Gagliano, Officer Swigert, everybody who's here. Each year, the principals and teachers of the Oak Ridge Schools come before you with salary and benefits proposals that are both modest and reasonable, and to a fault, some would say. Some people say we should be pushing for more yearly. But we are not immoderate people. Let me state that positively. We are very moderate people in our requests. As professional educators, our number one priority is to try to help our young people while pursuing a vocation, while also trying to earn a living and support our families. So in coming to you each year, we know that we are preaching to the choir and that the real audience to be persuaded is outside these walls at the city council level and wherever taxpayers are to be found, preferably not in the aisles of the grocery stores. But as in the past, we know that you will take our request seriously and that you will make the case to the appropriate stakeholders. We appreciate that, and we don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted because you've supported us through every reform. You have sustained us through every storm. You have held our hands at times. You expect us to maintain an attitude and an achievement level of excellence, and you're willing to fund it to the best of your abilities. And I was going to say you put the fun in funding, but that's I don't know how you can really make that work. But I think you also realize that the first key to achieving any of our system's keys to college and career readiness and to expect excellent student and staff performance is to hire and to retain excellent staff, to treat us as professionals, to acknowledge our achievements and our successes, and to challenge us to meet every challenge, whether it comes from the state or from the shifting demographic and learning environments of our students, or wherever the challenges come from. There have been plenty, and if history is our guide, there will be many more. Which leads me to tonight. This is a historic occasion. This is the first stop on his victory lap around Major League stadiums across the country. Is our Peyton Manning, our Derek Jeter, our Mariano Rivera, our Lord Grantham, for you Mountain Abbey fans, our father confessor, my good friend and colleague, Mr. Mike Haygood, to make his final, as far as we know, official salary presentation. Mr. Haygood, come on up here.
Steve, I think Steve said some of the information you guys would like to have, which I think is important, I will get this to you. You mentioned the health insurance. I will get you a breakdown of where we stand. Karen was correct. We're about the middle of the state. That really hasn't changed much over the years. It's a little difficult to compare because you have some, depending on which plan you take, we do much better on what we pay toward an individual policy than what we pay toward a family policy for our employees. So the family, I think we pay, is it 90% of an individual? Is that 85? And 60% of a family, or 70%, okay. But we're somewhere about the middle of the pack in the state. Along with what Mr. Cox said, we've found over the years that we've dropped dramatically. I can remember years ago, in the top, we look at salary a number of different ways. Beginning salary to attract teachers, or ending salary to maintain them. You have those steps in there, and that's very important. We talked about that from time to time. Those steps are there for a reason, and they're weighted a certain way to get teachers into the system. It's weighted so they get most of their raising on the front end when they're raising the family, when they really need that, but it hooks them into the system and it keeps them in the system. And historically, at the top end, we've always been number one or two in the state with the highest average teacher salary. That's dropped quite a bit if you look at the latest data. We're no longer at the top. I think in average teacher salary now, we're down maybe to 12th or 13th. Beginning salary, we're like 27th, where we used to always be first or second. By comparison, Memphis is $10,000 above beginning teacher salary with no experience, where we are in Oak Ridge. So when you want to start attracting teachers out of high school, that's a very difficult thing to do. When you're young, we've all been there. It was a long time ago for me, but I can remember, you don't look 30 years down the road and what you're going to be earning. you're looking at that moment and what am I going to draw when I start working tomorrow? And we're competing with places now, we're like 27th, I think, beginning salary, the bachelor's. It's hard to attract some of those folks. So that's just the reality of what we're dealing with. And that's something we have to look at as a community, as a system, and how we address that. And it is a total package. I will get you more information about the insurance, where we stand with the total package, but we're not going to go up. I can just tell you that for sure. It's like Mr. Cox said, the teachers are asking for a 3% salary increase, wanting to maintain other benefits at the same level. We're not asking for anything new. We think this is a fair proposal. I know money is always tight. I hear the governor is asking for 3%, but I also understand their 3% is not the same as our 3% because it's based on the BEP formula. But on the positive side, at least the state is wanting to give us something toward our salary increase. I think that's something to realize that we do forget sometimes. I think the taxpayers forget that also, that our 3%, at least someone is supplementing a part of that salary increase. So thank you for your consideration. I will answer any questions. If you have any specific information you would like, get Mr. Philhour knows, he can get back with me or Dr. Borchers, and I can get you any specific information as it relates to teacher salaries, principals, supplement salaries, and those type of things that encompasses the entire school system. Okay.
Comments or questions? Mr. Eby.
I'll just say this, is that you've probably been doing this about as long as I've been up here listening to it, and you know, I've never felt that the teachers or the administration has ever come and asked for anything that is not reasonable, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate, as he said, what you guys do, as Steve said, I've been fortunate in my career to literally observe every school system within the state of Tennessee, and numerous school board meetings, and nothing even comes close to the professionalism we have in this system, and that's from the top down. I mean, it's just incredible. I have never felt, standing before this board, that I haven't been heard. Even if you don't agree, I'm always treated with respect, and I hope you would think that Steve and I and everybody else has done the same with you. Because it is, we're in this together. This isn't us against them. This is all about what's best for the students of Oak Ridge and for the school system in Oak Ridge to survive. You know, on a personal level, I have some real fears about where we're going to be 10 years from now. That's just the reality of it. It's a difficult time for us.
Well, we appreciate your attitudes, and you know, we have the challenges that we've got to address, but we do appreciate the attitude and the support.
So, thank you.
Just to kind of reemphasize something you said, and for anyone listening that hears this, just to know that we just don't talk about this. These are realities. Maybe John can report this on Oak Ridge Today as well. First week of spring break, I had the opportunity to take a family that is considering a move to Oak Ridge. The father is working at one of the facilities here in Oak Ridge, and they narrowed it down to either Farragut or Oak Ridge. They have two children, and they will be both in middle school. One is in the eighth grade and will be going to the high school. So they wanted to see the high school, so we went there. Mr. McDonald was there and spoke with them, and they went around and looked at the facility and some things they were interested in. Then they actually were getting ready to look at a house that afternoon over in the Jefferson District, so they wanted to go there. Mr. Cox and Mr. Haygood were there. Ms. Muncy, one of the counselors, was there in the building. The librarian and some of the staff that was doing intercession was there and talked with the kids. And as we were leaving, the mother that was with them turned to me and said, "I thought this was spring break." And I said, "It is, but as I told you, we have an intercession going on." She said, "Well, why are all these staff and teachers in the building now?" And I, you know, it kind of caught me for a minute. And I said, "Well, you know, you probably find them there most all the time." And she said, "That's the type of school system that we want." So my last hope was they were on their way to close on a house in Emory Valley and enroll their students in the Oak Ridge schools. So that's what you're talking about when you say staff, administrators, and teachers make a difference. They do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on a topic that is not on the board agenda. The board does not take action at this time, but may ask questions and then may direct the superintendent to meet with you or provide additional information or direct you to the appropriate staff member for answers. If you choose to speak, please sign your name and address at the podium. Then state your name and address. You will have 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Come forward.
Good evening. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you. My name is Heather. My family and I moved to Tennessee from Louisiana for my business purposes. Before moving here, we searched the school systems. We were trying to decide between Farragut and Oak Ridge, and we chose Oak Ridge. I am very pleased that we did that. And I've also brought you a picture of my little boy so you can have a face with a name. Because this, and I've also brought his doctor with me. This is his precious doctor, Dr. McAllister. What I wanted to address with you tonight are my concerns for his classroom. My son is in the autism spectrum. The school system was very helpful to us in diagnosing him and getting him plugged in to the necessary areas that he needs for his development, speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy. He's met with the school psychologist. He does a one-on-one with a lady named Diane. He is flourishing and thriving. Throughout the school year, his classroom has gotten a bit bigger. And from the research that I've done, children who are in classrooms who are more evenly distributed, in his classroom, there are 11 children with IEPs. There is one special education teacher and I think about three assistants, give or take. They've added additional children throughout the school year, and the teachers appear strained. They have verbalized to me that they would like to have more help. I have also read that a child that goes into a classroom with 50% children that are mainstream, no issues, no challenges, and 50% challenges, the children do better because they have something to compare against. And my son goes to Faith Promise Church, one of the biggest churches in East Tennessee. He goes to a mainstream classroom. He does not have a special ed classroom at church. We also partner with Lifehouse Church, and he does really well in all of those instances. So I have seen him thrive. I've seen him communicate. I have seen him use adjectives and prepositions. Yesterday he told me, "Mom, I'm hungry. I can't have a lunch. I can't have a nap." And I said, "Why didn't you eat? Well, why didn't you eat when I offered it to you?" And he says, "No, Mom, offer more now." That's a great sentence for a three-year-old in the autism spectrum with challenges with his language. And I attribute that to his teachers and the program here and the foundation that you guys are laying for him. And I also have researched and read that children in Head Start are less likely to not go to college. They're less likely to not get into trouble as they get older. And I really feel strongly that this is something that hopefully you guys will consider and take seriously and come alongside the teachers and support them, which is what I'm sure that your heart's desire is to do. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Did you make sure your name and information is on there? in case.
Yes, I will put it on there for you.
We need to contact you. And thank you very much for your comments. And just a comment I would make is the issue that you expanded on is an issue that the board and administrative staff deals with as we try to develop our programs so they are serving our student population and their needs. And it sometimes is a very difficult balancing act where we might start the year with X number of students in a classroom, and then all of a sudden we have a surge and that number increases exponentially upward, and then now we've got an issue, or in some cases it goes the other way and we've still got an issue. So we certainly appreciate your comments, and I know the superintendent and the administrative staff are aware of these issues, and as we push ahead with our budget cycle, it's a good opportunity to take a look at those items. So we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Are you on the same topic? Sure. Yeah. We don't have a surge of people speaking at the public forum tonight. So I'm not going to go over again but what I've said before, but you have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Velissa Smith. My daughter is Callie Smith. I want to first say thank you to the school system. I'm very blessed to have Miss Geller for Miss Callie's teacher this year. Callie is a nonverbal three-year-old. She does not speak, but since coming to the preschool, Callie has learned some more sign language. She is able to go in a classroom full of children and stay the whole entire day. When she first started here, we had to pick her up every day at 12 o'clock, and I picked her up crying every single day. Now, since we've had the break, it was a little different transition today. I know that coming to school is my child's right, but I do consider it as a huge blessing getting to come to the Oak Ridge preschool system. Before we came here, we also had decided between Oak Ridge and Maryville before we bought our house here, and we decided for Oak Ridge. I've worked with Miles before, and I just cannot say how appreciative I am to Ms. Geller and her support staff, but I do have the concern, too, for the high number of students, which you've heard all the research before. And also, maybe if we can look into it for next year, I would really like the school to be able to implement more ABA therapy for children with autism. It's been proven for children at small ages, if you get ABA, their autism can be decreased in their symptoms. Since Callie has came here, we were able to get her more ABA with Miss Diane one-on-one, and now she's able to eat lunch. The first 2 months of her school, she could not eat lunch at all. She did not eat anything all day. Now she's able to sit in a seat and do that. So I just want to say, I only had 3 minutes, and you've already heard everything Heather said, but I just want to thank the school system for taking my child's needs and doing what we need for her, and hopefully maybe next year we can look into more, just not just doing it for my Callie, but for the other children in the classroom. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate y'all giving us an opportunity in just 30.
For your record, if you'd state your name.
I'm Matthew McAllister. I'm Harrison's pediatrician. And just quickly, I was asked to come and just kind of reiterate, I'm here to act as a witness to Harrison's improvement and also as an advocate to kids like him, as well as him. I've seen him improve greatly. I greatly thank your school system. You all were the ones that picked up on this and brought it to my attention, and that happens very often in these situations. So I think there's something great going on with everything you're all able to offer and the eye that you all have for kids that may be struggling a little bit. Children with autism spectrum disorders have a great ability to achieve and live very happy lifestyles, but they need to be put in the situation and given the opportunities, as oftentimes they need and require a little bit more extra attention and guidance. So I hope that that's able to continue, and we can kind of continue moving forward with that. So appreciate y'all's time, and let me
thank you very much.
Peace.
Seeing no one else, we will adjourn the public forum and move to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Discussion. Those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under items for action, the first item is FY16 budget transfer number 6, transfer of funds.
Yep. I think it's me, Richard.
I'm ready. I can still go, I think.
Well, wait a second.
That's right.
We ready, Mr. Chairman?
Oh.
Well, I just can't touch anything. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of FY16 budget transfer number 6 as detailed on the attached information. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borson.
As you can see, we're experiencing some we didn't have as many expenditures due to some cold weather, lack of cold weather this year. So we're going to use these funds now in a way that I think is appropriate for the objects and items that are in your attached document.
Questions or comments? For the superintendent's recommendation, approval of FY budgets transfer number 6, transfer of funds on a first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under items for action is board policy 2.403, surplus property disposal. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of revisions to board policy 2.403, surplus property disposal, first reading.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle.
I'll turn to Ms. Gagliano here, but this was a change that we needed to make because of a federal issue. Ms. Gagliano, do you want to describe a little bit more about that?
Yes, this came to our attention as we were working on a document that has the abbreviation UGG. It's Uniform Grants Guidelines. It's quite a hefty document, deals with all of our policies and procedures. And this was one of the items that we needed to update, and it's actually per state law. We did confirm it through TSBA. It's something that we kind of, I think, missed during the TSBA updating of the policies. So if we go ahead and make this change, it'll bring us up to date. We already have a form that we use for the practice of disposing of surplus property that takes us through the steps according to the value of the property. And we'll update that to reflect this as well. So if anybody has any questions, I can answer.
Questions? Hearing none. Motion on the floor is approval of board policy 2.403, surplus property disposal, first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is board policy 2.403, surplus property disposal, a second reading. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Any discussion, as this would be the second reading on the policy that we just discussed? Hearing none. Those in favor of approving board policy 2.403, surplus property disposal on a second reading, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under items for action, purchase of 90 projectors for high school classrooms. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the purchase of 90 projectors at a total cost of $53,205.30 for Oak Ridge High School projector refresh.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
I think the board can probably realize, if you go back to visits to the high school and presentations, how dim the projectors and how difficult it is to see the screen in some of our rooms, especially rooms with a lot of windows. I know Mr. McDonald and Mr. Kofer can offer all kinds of examples, and we're probably long overdue, and I'm glad we're at a point where we can make this refresh at the high school.
Ms. Engel.
I know that there is, between different models of projectors, some of them have very, very expensive bulbs, and some of them have much less expensive bulbs. Are the ones that we are replacing the old ones with, are we going to see some savings in replacement bulbs?
I'll have to turn to Mr. Kofer for that. Mr. Kofer?
The proposed recommended projector has a cost of $79 recommended for the Brighter Futures contract. The next option was $179, and that's the most expensive bulb. So this is half the cost, basically, roughly. And it has longer hours, 5,000 in normal mode, 10,000 in eco mode. And I gave you an example of the improvement in the handout.
That's certainly significant.
Yeah.
Other comments or questions?
Wow.
Thank you. Motion on the floor is for the purchase of 90 projectors for the high school classrooms. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda is FY17 Tennessee textbook adoption cycle section A. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the attached instructional materials for the FY17 Tennessee textbook adoption cycle section A. That includes computer applications, keyboarding, instructional technology, advanced manufacturing, information technology, human services, and education and training.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers.
I know Ms. Cross has provided an updated list to the board, and Ms. Cross is here. If there's any questions, the board has for her.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I just want to understand the breakdown with regard to hard books and digital books, and are we moving forward to our one-to-one? And
I thought you would. So a really interesting thing about this adoption is with CTE, a lot of times what we'll do, since there's so much hands-on learning, we're only buying a class set. So for those where you see 25 books, to actually bundle that with an online version of the text is not in our favor. If that makes sense, you've got 25 copies of the text, and then you've got a digital copy that could only go out to one student. So we could buy the bundle, but what we have found when we buy the bundle and then try to share that amongst 200 students, it's not ideal. So for cost savings, we're going with the paper copies where you see 25. And a lot of the things that are on this adoption are actually software. So that's just a few of those. Where you see the numbers 25, that's a class set of textbooks. And just about everything else is software or certifications, just because of the nature of the CTE classroom. So if you want to look at it with those eyes and then ask me specific questions there. And a lot of these textbooks are also dual enrollment with college. And the college platform for delivering an online text is very cost prohibitive. So it would be like $85 per student, and it's only a 180-day license. So.
Okay, so that answered my question. It's only a 180-day license, so you can't use it for year to year to year.
The six-year adoption that we're accustomed to. So a lot of these are dual enrollment textbooks. Like all of the mechatronics books are dual enrollment with Roan State. And then all of the, there's another one like that. Oh, actually, the one that we're looking at for automotive is actually an online certification portal. So that's different. But the dual enrollment with Roan State.
Do you see that changing in the years to come, or is it going to stay like this?
They've got college kids where they want them. I hope that it changes for the sake of college kids too. But you know, they go in and they've got a $500 textbook budget, and it's an 180-day license, and it's just a completely different model than we're used to in high school.
They probably have strong lobbyists.
Yeah. Well, with the online educational resources, I see a push for publishers to go in this direction, actually. So I'm hopeful.
Ms. Hagel.
Well, I think that most of us received a letter at the beginning of the board member from one of our social studies teachers that we do not have enough social studies textbooks. And I was wondering, is this the time to correct that with the textbook approval, or would that be a separate?
Can you see that last page? We actually addressed that. So the where we actually found this problem, and Steve is one of my witnesses to this, we bought one-to-one. We bought a classroom set of textbooks with a classroom set of licenses. Mm-hmm. And it's not ideal. Kids were kicking each other out and things like that. So what we have done as a solution to that, we delayed the purchase of social studies in several areas. And so one of the pieces that we did on that is to actually go one-to-one for the digital copies for students. And that's in the proposal to make up for it this year. And then additionally, there's a piece for Canvas that will actually give a single sign-on. So that $4,000 that you see there is for single sign-on integration with Canvas to make it easier to do logins, because that's always fun. So
just make sure I'm reading this, or I understand this thing correctly. Just using it as an example, sociology, high school text, delayed purchases, the quantity is 50. Mm-hmm. That means the anticipation in that area that there will be 50 students in that area. Is
enrollment,
that
and that'll be one-to-one, too. We can go to bundles with the high school texts in social studies.
Ms. Marshall.
Yeah, just a clarification. So the inefficiency of bundling and the cost of the digital copy is relevant to the dual enrollment college textbooks, but not to our classroom public school K-12 textbooks. Is that what I'm hearing?
Largely, except you'll see also the childcare textbooks. We have the same situation there. So we've got 25 texts for childcare. They're going to use it just in the classroom. I could buy the bundle for a little bit more money, but then it would not go one-to-one.
Okay, I just want to make sure we delineate, because I'm sure we will get questions about this. So we've talked a lot about the one-to-one and being able to have textbooks on devices and the kids not carrying books. There are efficiencies to be had for classroom K-12 materials. The inefficiencies that college students are suffering from, we will also suffer from where dual enrollment and college placement classes are concerned. Am I hearing that correctly? Okay. All right. So this doesn't mean that it's inefficient everywhere. It Mm-mm. just for these specific. Sorry, just wanted to make sure I reiterate and I'm clear. Thank you.
Can I just add for a quick second? A couple of years ago, what happened is we had a social studies adoption cycle. So every year there's a different cycle. This year is CCTE. And what ended up happening is we had budgetary concerns where at the very end, if you recall, there was a delay. We ended up not provisioning the textbook line at the amount that had been requested. So what we did was we tried to get by. So getting by was essentially purchasing this class set like we were talking about with the digital version. But when we went one-to-one at the middle school level with devices, that didn't work out at all because now we didn't only have 30 kids trying to get online at the same time. Now we had like multiple classes. And so then kids were kicking off, like Holly just said, and it caused a lot of problems. And so since this year's a lighter adoption year with CCTE as compared to some of the other content areas, we wanted to add in some of the necessities that we were unable to provide during the social studies adoption to make sure that our social studies teachers have what they need.
Other questions? Thank you. Motion on the floor is FY17 textbook, Tennessee textbook adoption cycle, Section A. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, we move to items for information. The first item there is early literacy.
I'm going to have or ask Dr. Beckendorf to give an intro tonight. I know you've seen Lynn and Kelly before, but you want to give a background to the presentation, Tracy?
Absolutely. With all of the interest in early literacy in our district and in our community, we thought it would be wonderful to have Dr. Kelly Williams and Ms. Lynn Chablinski come back and do a specific early reading proficiency literacy update focus for the board this evening. Kelly is our K through 12 literacy coordinator, and Lynn has two roles. She is our K through 6 reading coordinator, and she is a reading specialist at Woodland Elementary School.
We are very happy to be here tonight to provide you with an update on some of our elementary literacy efforts. But before we get into the specifics of those, we thought it would be nice to remind you that elementary literacy is not Dr. Williams or Lynn Chablinski standing and talking. We've got a position for the computer, sorry. That's why I'm doing this technical. Instead of us standing at a mic, it is students reading and writing and talking and thinking. And Sarah Barkley, a broadcasting 3 student of David Kolodny's at Oak Ridge High School, visited Woodland with me just before the spring break and just did a phenomenal job of recording and editing some of our kindergarten and first grade students. So a big thank you to the very talented and hardworking Sarah Barkley. And as Keyes has already observed, here comes the best part of our presentation. Thank you again to Sarah. It's very exciting to get to show
our students, but show it in a way that exhibits work all the way from early elementary through our high school. So, and Mr. Kalani, thank you for your assistance with that too. That was a lot of fun for us. We're very happy to come and give you regular updates on the most important topic of all of Oak Ridge School education, right? Literacy, the most important. It's definitely a hot topic this year, not just in Oak Ridge, but across the state. So a couple of the updates that we want to quickly tell you about include network improvement communities, our Oak Ridge Reads grant, professional development in writing, and the Read to Be Ready initiative from the state of Tennessee. First of all, you may have seen the press announcement, the press release recently. Oak Ridge is one of four districts that has been selected to participate in the Networked Improvement Community. This is a brand new initiative. It is cooperation between Tennessee Department of Education and the Carnegie Foundation. And it's very exciting that we've been selected to participate in this particular network. We'll work with other districts to do some scientific action research around a particular problem. And the problem that has been selected by Tennessee Department of Education is early literacy, because again, not just a problem that we're working to achieve gains in Oak Ridge, but across the entire state of Tennessee. What we have learned so far about this NIC, the Network Improvement Community, is that we will all be focused on this same common literacy aim, and we will use what they call improvement science. So it's very exciting. Carnegie Foundation has actually done some of these networked improvement communities in other states. They've done some in New York and in California that I know of. And they are focused on a particular topic, but they have not taken a look at literacy yet. So the state of Tennessee will be the first time that they look at early literacy. And the really exciting thing is when we do our focused work here, which begins actually in April and will continue throughout the next two school years, hopefully we'll finish our work in 2018. But eventually we want to develop some approaches in reading that will expand not just across our district to all of our elementary schools, but across the entire state of Tennessee. So we're very proud that we've been included in this. We don't know all about the work yet, even though the timeline is going to move very quickly and we're going to start our training very soon. So we hope to give you more updates as we become more involved in this effort. But it's a great achievement for us, for the literacy office and for all of Oak Ridge Schools. Another update we're very excited to tell you. The last time we met here, we were working very hard. We've been awarded from the Education Foundation a special literacy funding opportunity. We applied for, or we proposed, a grant called the Oak Ridge Reads Grant. And the primary purpose of this grant was to address outreach into our community with our particular reading problems, and how can we look especially at summer setback, which is what we know happens when students are home from extended periods of time and don't participate in reading instruction. So in our Oak Ridge grant, we have received over $35,000 from the Education Foundation and other corporations that are working with them, so that we can provide three things. One is keep books, we're gonna extend our summer bookmobile program, and we're gonna have after-school book clubs beginning next year. Keep books are just exactly what they sound like they are. Each of our preschool and kindergarten students at the end of this school year will get a small library, 10 to 15 books that they take home and they keep. These are leveled readers, and we're going to have some opportunities at the end of the school year before we send these books home to meet with their parents and talk about some best practices for reading at home and encouraging lots of reading and rereading of these texts throughout the summer before students come back to school. But they get to keep these books. The second part of the grant, as I said, expands what we know is an already successful program that was started by Ginger Adams at Linden Elementary School, which is the summer bookmobile. She served a couple of communities around Linden last summer. We are going to operate the summer bookmobile 2 days a week instead of one, and we're going to reach out to more communities this year. We hope that we can also incorporate some reading time with some of the USDA feeding locations that happens for the summer feeding program as well. but we're very excited. This, although we target students of greatest need for this program, we invite their siblings to come out no matter which school they attend. We invite their whole family to come out and read for this program. So Ginger is already hard at work collecting all of the additional texts, and we're going to be able to get some additional materials to expand this program and make it even more successful. The third part of the grant will allow after-school book clubs for next year. And these book clubs will happen one day a week at each elementary school. And the exciting part of this is we're going to extend that also to the middle schools. We want to provide after-school reading just one more intervention or extra opportunity for students to interact with text as much as possible. So this helps us provide a little transportation so that we can have these after-school book clubs. In addition, the materials that we'll use for our after-school book clubs at the middle school level that we're purchasing through this grant, they can also use in their regular daily intervention classes. So that will serve a dual, much-needed purpose. We're very excited about getting our hands on some extra materials. Again, we'll continue to use lots of different tools to measure the effectiveness of this Oak Ridge Reads program. That's how we knew at the beginning of this year that the bookmobile was such a great success at Linden. We used our benchmark assessment, and we saw that all of the students who participated in Ms. Adams' program either retained or grew in reading over the summer, and that was so very exciting when we know they normally don't do that. So we'll use the tools that we have in place and a few additional others so that we can assess our program effectiveness and hopefully keep some of these very positive literacy efforts in place for Oak Ridge.
Since we just heard about textbook adoption tonight, it's a good opportunity to remind everyone that there is no state funding associated with writing with respect to textbooks or curriculum, and yet we know how critical it is and the changing expectations that have occurred. We've seen some very dramatic changes in expectations in writing recently, and in fact, Oak Ridge School students just finished part one of the TN Ready and the social studies assessment. Of course, we won't have those results for a bit. But after surveying teachers regarding a clear need for a program that supports our Writers' Workshop framework, and then developing a list of criteria, reviewing the options, piloting this program with sixth grade at Robertsville Middle School in 2014-15, we used district literacy funds to purchase classroom kits for the Calkins Units of Study and Writing just this past August. And to continue to follow through with the support and the development of teaching writing, we're currently in the process of seeking funding to send five grade level teachers, and that's representing each grade level K through four, to the Summer Writing Institute at the Teachers College Reading and Writing Project this June. So these teachers will be working with grade level members to facilitate writing PD in the 2016-17 school year. And then the Read to Be Ready state initiative, which the State Department of Education recently launched, addresses early literacy statewide. In addition to the Carnegie partnership that Kelly mentioned that Oak Ridge has been selected to be a part of, one of our next steps is just the continuous development of effective literacy practices and sources of funding. So as part of the Read to Be Ready, there has been a very recent announcement of a summer grant opportunity for summer school targeting at-risk students, and our elementary schools are currently investigating this. So we are continually exploring other funding opportunities to expand our literacy efforts. And so as we conclude this literacy update, we're very excited and encouraged to note the remarkable consistency between the state initiative and the efforts and philosophy of the Oak Ridge schools. Thank you.
I think one of the things that gets my attention readily on this, past the efforts that you all have put in to tackle this issue and to be positive as we move forward, But I think back, and I don't remember how many years ago, one, two, or three, your first year or your second year, I don't remember. But somewhere in there when we talked about, and you talked about how we were going to develop a plan to move forward in the Oak Ridge schools, and that plan became the seven keys for college and career readiness. And I distinctly remember you say that as we do this, one of the things that we're going to be able to do is we measure our successes and our failures. We'll have specific information that will guide us to where we need to be. So the positive thing is we've taken that information. We see that we have a weakness. And instead of just saying, oh, we've got a weakness here and talking about it, we're doing something about it. To me, that's the most important thing about where we are at this point in time. The initiative is there, and it's not something you just come in one day and say, oh, tomorrow I'll do this and it'll be great. I mean, it takes time and effort and people taking responsibility for what they do within our various buildings. So that, to me, is what stands out, is that, yes, we see this, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to show that this will take our results to where we want them to be. So thank you for that. Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I also want to thank you for bringing forward this focus on this by continuing to bring updates. I think that's very critical for the board to know where we are, for the community to know where we are. You know, if you don't know where you are, you'll never be lost, and we know that we got to do better. And so keep on keeping on doing the things that you're doing the right way. And I did have one question. I went to the literacy luncheon last week, and thanks, Mr. McDonald, for opening up the cafeteria. I mean, there must have been 300 people there. I don't know how many people were there, but it was phenomenal. How does that tie in to what you're doing here?
The Literacy Luncheon helps fund the Altruza and Rotary grants that our teachers apply for each year. So those are mostly literacy focused, and all kinds of efforts that we've been able to fund, including intervention kits and other small book sets from that.
Any other comments or questions? We'll anxiously await the next report.
Thank you.
Next under items for information is a financial report. Comments or questions?
Just one question. We have any concerns any way, shape, or form? I mean, obviously, we must be doing well if we're moving money around, and I think you're doing the right thing in doing that, but any concerns?
No, just tracking each month. Of course, April's going to be a big month for looking at sales and property tax. But as far as tracking, we're about 66% of the way through the year, and our revenues are at almost 65 and our expenditures at 60, so that's a comfort level for right now, but things will change.
Enrollment, report, questions? Ms. McClain?
There's a lot of information on the enrollment report, and I went back and compared it to September's, and I noted this report says that there are a total of 40 private school and homeschooled students receiving special ed. Then when I looked at September, there were only 21. Is this the normal thing that we would have more kids added? And also, where are those kids in these numbers? And what services are we providing?
Yeah, I would need to research your first part of that question, to be honest about that. I do know that a good portion of these students are at St. Mary's. And that basically our speech pathologist from Robertsville actually spends a day a week at St. Mary's, so that accounts for a good number of these students.
Bruce and Miles, could we get a response back to Ms. McClain's question?
Yes.
Lots of detail there? Okay.
Yes, we'll research that and get an email to you. Okay.
Next items for discussion. One of the topics that we discussed at our most recent board retreat was the issue of class ranking at the high school. And this is not something that we were going to develop as a board policy, but just as an item for information that we were moving forward in this direction. So you want to speak to that, or does Mr. McDonald want to speak to that? Or
I'll ask Mr. McDonald to come forward if he would, and just kind of maybe a brief overview. And I know the board had a great discussion at the board retreat, as you said, Mr. Fullauer, but we thought a brief summary here from Mr. McDonald on where the Oak Ridge counselors are with this issue.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to share this. So at the start of this year, I had an opportunity to sit down with my counselors who were very concerned about increased student anxiety and anxiety-related issues that went into academic performance. This was an issue that really was affecting a lot of our high achievers and our high flyers in our school. And we were seeing a lot of increase in the number of students talking about suicide, contemplating suicide, attempting suicide. And so when we sat down and started looking at why we were seeing some of these numbers increase, one of the things that kept coming up over and over again was this intense pressure that some of our students felt about being number one or being number two or being the top three or being in the top five. And it doesn't start the junior year, and it doesn't start the senior year. I mean, we've got students who are mapping out, starting in seventh and eighth grade, what they need to do to land in that final spot. And when we started having conversation about this, one of the questions that I had asked is it important in any way, shape, or form to the college acceptance process that someone be one, two, or three? And so what we did is we went out and we looked at what are colleges that our students are most often applying to, especially the prestigious colleges like the Chapel Hills and the Dukes and the Vanderbilts and the Samfords and the Chicagos and the UPenns. And are they looking at class rank? And if they're not, then why are we continuing a practice that is causing this anxiety if it's no longer being used in the admission process? And what we found is not only did those schools not look at class rank or even request class rank, most of them are looking now at deciles, or they're looking at a more holistic approach to look, considering students for admissions. And so we also reached out to our surrounding counties to look to see who was still doing class rank and who was not doing class rank. And what we found is the majority schools and school systems that we are often comparing ourselves to are no longer doing class rank. They are doing deciles. And these are schools like Farragut and like all the Knox County schools, Maryville County schools, Anderson County schools. So what we wanted to do is develop a way that we could alleviate some of that pressure from our students, or try to alleviate some of that pressure from our students. And we thought that the best way to do that would be, rather than reporting class rank and including it on the transcript, which doesn't really have a meaning to the students and or through the admissions process, we would report out class rank by decile. So we would break our student body down into a decile, and we would report that out. We found that that was what most colleges were doing now, especially the elite institutions that we were looking at. Out of all the elite institutions that our kids applied to, only one requested class rank, and that was Vanderbilt. And it wasn't for admissions process, it was for scholarship opportunities for the number one and number two in the class. We still will have the ability to do class rank, and it'll still be calculated the same way, but it will be for internal purposes only, and we will provide it to those institutions upon the request of the student or the institution. But for reporting out on the transcripts, we would like to move towards doing it by decile. And it is our hope that this will help remove some of that perceived pressure that is causing such intense anxiety in many of our high flyers. We've had conversations around this change with our gifted students and with our parents, and during our registration process this year. There was not the backlash reaction that I was hoping we wouldn't see, so that was very positive. And one of the things that we're really trying to spend a lot of time on is we are a school that prides itself on rigor, and we are a school that I personally think is one of the best college preparatory schools in the state of Tennessee. And With that said, we also are the kind of schools where if we don't have procedures and processes in places, we are a school where kids can really overwhelm themselves in a search to try to be one or two, and don't have to do that because it's not helping them get into the elite programs they think that they would be helping them get into. So we're hoping that by making this change, we can have healthier, happier students, which is something that, of course, we're very interested in doing, and a healthier and happier school for our students to be a part of.
Questions or comments? And as I said, we did have an opportunity, and thank you again for coming to our retreat and presenting this to us, and we did have a discussion on that. But we did feel it was important to do this in a school board meeting session, so thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
Oh, Ms. Agle.
No question. I just wanted to say thank you for meeting with the counselors, for hearing these concerns, and for trying to think of a way that how can we make life a little easier for our students who sometimes will make life difficult for themselves. I think this is an excellent idea. You've done all your homework. The research supports it. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, and we have great kids at Oak Ridge, and we want to support those kids, and we absolutely have kids who can do an amazing amount of rigorous work. And I think the challenge for us is finding the right balance and working with the families and listening to both students and families to help determine what that balance is for each student, because it's different for each student.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any old business? New business? Communications, reminder of the Wellness Fair on the 31st, on April the 6th, Mr. Eby will be hosting our Focus on Education. Actually, this is hard to almost realize, that will be our last Focus on Education for the school. We have one in May? In the end of it. Oh, okay, well, we're getting close. It's next to last. So we're moving forward. Thank you. Also, received a communication from Torch, which is the Trinity Outreach Center of Hope, from Ms. Sheila Michael, who is the director there. That organization works through the process of helping economically disadvantaged individuals. They're kind of branching out a little bit, and they're offering on Saturday, April the 2nd, 2016, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Children's Museum of Oak Ridge, the Torch Springtastic. And this is for preschool through elementary school children. Once again, it is free, and they're going to be doing things that focus on a healthy lifestyle. And they'll be doing activities such as story reading, storytelling, arts and crafts, puppetry, dancing, balloon art, face painting, and healthy snacks. I say once again, that's Saturday, April the 2nd. It's free. I know they're working to get volunteers from the two middle school interact clubs and the United Way to help with this. So an opportunity for your preschool or elementary school children to learn something and enjoy a good morning at the Children's Museum. So with that being said, we are adjourned. Thank you for coming.